This last set of three lectures will be about methods for constraint optimization, which somehow exploit the Kerr-Schumacher KKT conditions. The family of methods I will start discussing today are the so-called penalization methods. The idea behind penalization is the following. Try to reduce a constraint optimization problem to a, let's say, family of unconstrained optimization problems, a sequence of unconstrained optimization problems, because we know that we have better tools to solve unconstrained optimization problem, and so try to reduce your constraint problem to one or a sequence of unconstrained problems. Which is the basic idea which allows this? You have somehow to penalize the value of the objective function for those points which are outside the feasible region. Okay? So, since you are dealing with unconstrained optimization, you have no constraints, you would like that the points which are outside your feasible region, real feasible region, are penalized because they are not feasible. Okay? So, let me start with a couple of examples and then we'll put them into a general framework. Okay? So, first example, two variables. We wish to minimize the easiest of all convex functions, so the square of the norm, x1 squared plus x2 squared, and we ask to minimize it on this feasible region. A unique equality constraint describes the region, and it is x1 plus x2 equals to 1. Okay? So, this is our problem. How could we turn this into an unconstrained optimization problem? So, we somehow want a minimization problem, some objective function, okay, which provides a penalization to points which do not satisfy this equality. Okay? So, the idea is to consider the objective function, and something, an additional term, which is zero on the feasible region, and positive elsewhere. Okay. So, what could be the equation? Something which is zero when this is zero, and positive otherwise. You can add the function, this one, but this might be positive, but it also might be negative. So if you take the square, if the point is visible, this is zero. If the point is not visible, this is positive. Okay? And then you add an additional multiplying coefficient. Okay? Which we will be seeing is crucial for working in the account. So, parameter, penalization parameter R. Okay? So, let's solve this problem. This is an unconstrained problem. It is a convex optimization problem. So, well, to solve it, we need to compute the gradient of this function. So, the gradient okay, let's compute the first component. So the gradient, the first component is we take the derivative with respect to x1. So it is this. And if you take the derivative with respect to x2, Well, X1 and X2 play the same role here and the same role here, so you just have X2 here. Okay. And you want this to be zero. Okay? If you subtract this equation from this other equation, you will get that X1 minus X2 has to be equal to zero. So X1 has to be equal, X1 and X2 have to be equal. So here you can plug in X1, run the substitution, solve the equation in one variable, and what you get is that X1 is equal to X2, and it is equal, let's check and don't tell you right. R divided 1 plus 2R. Okay? So, if we solve the constraint optimization problem, let's say that the solution XR that we get is 1 over 1 plus 2R for both components. Okay? Well, take R that goes to plus infinity. What does it mean? That I am increasing the value of the penalization for the same given point at which this is positive, as R goes to plus infinity, this goes to plus infinity. Well, if you are in the feasible region, this is zero, so it is not affected by increasing R. Okay? And what does happen here? This is not 1. This is R. Okay? R divided by this goes to the ratio between these two coefficients, because this becomes irrelevant as R goes to plus. So this goes to 1 half, 1 half. Okay? And which is a feasible point here? Okay, and which is the actual minimum point, global minimum point. Well, you could see with another technique here, you could cancel the constraint. This is very easy to separate because you know that X2 has to be X1, 1 minus X1, okay? So all the points which satisfy the constraints are of this form for all x1 in R. Okay? So you substitute this expression to x2 in the constraint, and this problem is equivalent to the same problem without the constraint. Okay? I have a page in my notes which speaks about this technique. I don't go into the details with it. It says that when you have this sort of things, you can try this technique, okay, to eliminate one or more variables to equations, okay. This may work, this may not work, okay, but if the relationship to the functions are linear, it works, okay. So you have two pages in my notes which show you that you can try this, that in general it may fail, but if the constraints are linear, it works. So indeed, if you plug that in, you will get that you are minimizing X1 plus 1 minus X1 squared plus 1 minus X1 squared over the whole real line. You take the derivative and you take the point at which is zero, this function is convex, and you will get 1/2. Okay, so a simple exercise. Okay, unconstrained optimization in one variable. So, indeed, if we take this approach and we let the penalization parameter go to plus infinity, you get the optimal solution of this problem. Okay? I prepared you
I prepared you, let's say, a visualization of this example.
No.
It's not this one. Sorry, it's this one. Okay.
This is 0, 0. These are the level curves of the function increasing. This is the visible region, the line, that line. Okay. So you just erase the constraint r equals 0. You get this point. Then you take r equal 1. The objective function of the unconstrained problem changes. Okay? The new minimum will be here, and so on. Okay? It's approaching 1/2, 1/2, which is the optimal solution of the original problem. Okay, but it might be that we've been lucky. Okay, so actually, this is not that we've been lucky, this works. But before going to theory, I will ask you to check another example, okay, which share some features with this one, but have a meaningful difference. Here, notice that in our example, the points which are generated are always outside the physical region. None of them is physical. Okay? And now I give you an even simpler example, just one variable. Okay? And I want to minimize, let's call the variable t. T squared, such that t is greater or equal than 1. Okay? This problem is trivial. What's the solution? Obviously. T has to be greater or equal than 1, and we want to minimize its square. It's 1, exactly. T equal 1 is the optimal solution. Okay? What's the difference from the previous example? Okay, apart from the number of variables. Well, a meaningful difference is that there you have equality constraints. Here you have inequality constraints. Okay? So here, you can no longer use exactly the same penalization technique, because here if you add 1 minus t squared and you take t number, well, this is 0 only if t is equal to 1. Otherwise, you are penalizing also not only the points for which t is less than 1, but also those for which t is greater than 1. And you don't want to penalize those points, because they are physical. Okay, so this does not work. How can you correct this expression? You want this to be less or equal than 0. And you want to give a penalization when this is positive. Okay? So rather than doing this, you could take the maximum between 0 and 1 minus t. Okay? If t is greater or equal than 1, this is negative, so the maximum is 0, you are in the physical region, and you have no penalization. If t is smaller than 1, this is positive, and so you are penalized. Okay? So we could do it this way. I'll show you, this works, but I'll show you a small trouble. Let's plot this function. T squared plus the maximum between 0 and 1 minus t. Let's say, r equal 1, okay?
let's say we do it between 0 and 2.
Here you have the graph. You don't see it very well. Look at here. And this is in the visible region. This is outside the visible region.
Okay, you don't see it very well with R equal 1. Let's increase the penalization. Indeed, in the previous example, we needed it to go to plus infinity. So let's try to.
What do you notice? Here. This function does not have derivative. Okay? This is not a differentiable function here. Okay? So we are just one variable, so we can speak simply about the derivative. That's not a derivative here.
You see even better if I increase this penalization terms. Let's say I put it here 5.
It's pretty obvious. The picture is speaking for itself.
Well, there's a trick.
Funny trick. If you take the square, this does not happen anymore. If you take the square of this maximum, which is a positive number, so you, in principle, you don't need to take the square. In the previous example, you needed to take the square. Otherwise, that would have been positive or negative. This is always positive. Okay? But if you take the square, you recover differentiability. In this case, this function has a derivative. Okay, you can try, because the previous function was t squared if t was greater or equal than 1, and t squared plus 1 minus t if t was, sorry, and r. 1 minus t if t was less or equal than 1. When you take the derivative here, you take 2t, you get 2t. When you take the derivative here, you take 2t minus r. Okay? And if you take t equal 1, here you get 2, here you get 2 minus r. So the limit of the derivatives as you approach 1 from right or from left are different. Okay. But if you take the square here, this does not happen anymore. Eh? Because you get 2r, 1 minus t. So if t is equal to 1, this is 0 and disappears. Indeed, on the computer I have the full example. So you could see it here. If here I take the square, the function is nicer. It's smooth. It's differentiable. But I also have the full example. It's very easy. You can do the computation, okay? Because you can solve this easily. Okay? So this is the physical region. This is the original function, t squared. Then we minimize this and we get this point here, we get 0. Then we increase the penalization parameter, let's say 1/2, and the function changes. And the minimum will be here. And go on. You take the penalization parameter to be 1, this new green function, and the minimum will be here, and so on. R equal 2, R equal 4, 8, 16, okay, I stopped with 16. Okay, and indeed you can check that if you take the solution of this problem, let's say tr goes to 1 and r goes to plus infinity. You can do the full exercise. Okay, this is very easy. Calculus, you can resolve this by calculus and then take the limit. Once again, notice that all points are outside of this region. Okay? Indeed, I will formalize all of this into some theoretical framework, and These techniques are called external penalization. And the name comes from that, that generally when you solve the problem, you solve the unconstrained problem, penalized problem, you end up outside on the external part. So let me give a precise formulation. So we consider this problem, the usual problem. We want to minimize F of x, and we have the usual inequality and equality constraints. Okay? So this is the problem at hand. So the idea is to add a penalization term which is zero on the physical region and positive elsewhere. Okay? So, and solve the corresponding unconstrained minimization problem. So let me call this penalized function P of R. And here you don't want constraints anymore. Okay? How is P of R done? Well, it's the objective function plus R times, I just erased the example, the maximum between zero, we take every inequality constraint, and then we take the maximum between zero and gi at x. And then we take the square, as we discussed a few moments ago. Okay? If all inequality constraints are satisfied, these are all less or equal than zero, so this is true. Otherwise, one of them is positive, and this is a positive sum. Okay? And then it's easier for equality constraints, you just take the square of the constraining function. Okay? Once again, if the equality constraints are satisfied, these are all zero. If one of them is not satisfied, at least one of them is positive, and so you penalize the other. Okay? So, what property do we have for this function? Well, if you take a point in the physical region, you get the same function you had before. Okay? On the physical region, the objective function of the constrained and unconstrained problem are exactly the same. So, first property, if x is feasible, meaning that it satisfied all these inequalities, then PR at x is exactly equal to f at x. And in general, since we are adding, so if x is not feasible, then at least one of these terms is positive, is exactly greater than x. Okay. But this does not mean that the minimum point of this problem, unconstrained problem, is inside the physical region. Because it's greater or equal than f, but f at that point might be much, much smaller than it is in the physical region. So maybe you don't add a large enough term. Okay? So when we've been doing the one-dimensional example with those all those parabolas, okay, the vertex of the parabolas was always outside the physical region, okay, because what you were adding was not really enough. Let me add let me introduce a notation to make formulas a bit easier. This is called G I plus. Okay? The maximum between G zero and G I is called G I plus. Okay? And you can really prove what I told you, that if G I is differentiable, is not enough to guarantee that G I plus is differentiable. Okay? But it guarantees that G I plus squared is differentiable. That's the reason why here we put G I plus squared. Okay? So if we start from a good problem with all the differentiability properties we want, we keep them. Okay? Here are a little bit later, so I show you in another example. So take function of just one variable, the density. Okay? The density is this function. Okay? If you take G I plus, here, since the function is positive, it remains the same value, whereas it's negative, it takes 0. You can clearly see that this function is not, does not have a derivative here. Okay? But if you take the square, this becomes this way. And the derivative here is 0. The tangent here is 0. Okay? So, GE is in green, and GI is in green, GI plus is in green, and GI plus squared is in purple. Okay? So this is another very simple example. Okay? So the reason to take the square is not because of penalization, but to preserve differentiability. Okay. In all of this lecture, I will not make proofs. I'll give you ideas. Okay? Well, if you consider the optimal value of our problem, let's call it VP. Okay? And the optimal value of the unconstrained penalized problem, and let's call it VRP. Okay? What is the relationship between the two of them? Well, here you just consider all feasible points, and on feasible points, these two objective functions are equal. Well, you don't know what happens of this function outside the feasible region. You know that it's greater than this. But you have to compare with feasible values. Okay? So you have, the minimum value here provides a feasible value here. Okay? Because here you take the minimum point is also here, and the two values are inside. And here you take also many other points. So this minimum can only be smaller or at best equal, okay? But not surely not larger, because the best point here
is also here with the same value.
So what we have is that
this relation for this relation for,
when you take the penalized problem, the optimal value is always smaller or equal than the true optimal value, regardless which positive R you choose.
Okay?
And indeed, the idea is what is the one that we tried in our examples. Okay? Increase R, because if we have the for all positive R, clearly the largest of these values, let's say the supreme of these values, is still less or equal than the mean.
Okay? If we take all possible parameters and we take the ones that provide the best, the largest of these values, will still remain below this, the optimal value of the original problem. Okay.
Well, there is a positive situation. Suppose you solve this problem.
Okay.
So suppose you find some x in Rn, x bar in Rn, such that its value is exactly
the value takes at s is exactly the optimal value of that problem. Okay? The optimal solution of this problem.
So we know that this is less or equal than the optimal value of the problem. Let's suppose that we have been lucky and this point is feasible.
Well, if it's feasible, it means that the value of f at that point is greater or equal than the optimal value.
So we also have this.
Okay.
So this has to be important. So if you solve the penalized problem
and you end up with a feasible solution, that is the optimal solution of the original problem. Something that in our example did not happen. And unfortunately, we will see in a few minutes, it is not likely to happen. And KKT condition will help us to understand why.
Prove the first result. Take a sequence of values for R. Let's say you take a sequence of values Rk, which goes to plus infinity
as k goes to plus infinity. Okay.
Let xk be an optimal, a global minimum point of the penalized function, let's say the penalized problem.
Okay, we solve this problem.
So we suppose we are able to solve this problem for all values of Rk.
Okay, there might be an unlucky situation. You penalize the function and the function is unbounded by below. Okay, it may happen. Okay, that outside the feasible region, f is going to minus infinity faster than this quantity are going to plus infinity. It may happen. But suppose you are able to find an optimal solution. Okay. Then, and cluster form. Of the sequence of global optimal solutions
of the penalized problem
is a global meaning point of our constraint problem.
Okay? You can prove this.
Actually, the proof is not,
it's not difficult. Here you have all the ingredients you need. Okay.
And it is exactly what we have been we have seen in our examples.
Okay.
We were increasing the parameter and the sequence of solution was going to a solution of the problem.
Okay? Well, there are a couple of weak points here.
The first one is this works for global minima.
Okay, so everything is fine if your problem is convex. Okay,
so suppose F is convex, GIs are convex, J's are affine, linear pressure constant, then also the penalized objective function is convex, in which case this is a convex unconstrained optimization problem, and so we know that we can solve it and find the global minimum point with
gradient-type methods, for instance, or all the other methods we have been seeing in the first semester. Okay, so everything works fine in the convex case. The second drawback, and I will come back to it later, is that we do need that the parameter goes to plus infinity, and this can give numerical troubles. Okay, when you are doing the actual computation, and also that it might be the case in our example. But then I want to go back to the real reason of the name of this method, external penalization. Okay. So let's take xk, which is a global minimum point, it's an unconstrained problem, so optimality conditions tell you that the gradient of the objective function, this one, is the zero vector. Okay? Minimum point is stationary point. Okay? Let's take a look at this gradient. So we know this is zero. Well, this is the sum of a number of terms. So we can take the gradients of each term. Objective function, the gradient of f. Plus, we have inequality constraint. We must take the derivative of gi plus square. Okay, you can make an exercise of couples and check that the gradient of gi plus square at x is 2 times gi plus times the gradient of gi.
Okay.
It's the usual rule for the derivative of something which is up to the square. But then when you take the derivative of the function, what comes up here is exactly the derivative of the original function. Okay? So here we can take the derivative of each one of them. So we get 2 times, then we have rk, gi xk times the gradient of gi xk. Okay? And then we take the derivative of these other terms. These are easier. They are the square of differentiable functions. So it's this type of thing, but always with the same function. So we have plus the sum over j of 2 times rk h j xk for the derivative. Okay? This is pretty interesting. First, okay, let's suppose x is feasible.
X is feasible.
So it solves the unconstrained penalized problem, and it is also feasible. This value is, well, it's feasible. So this is less or equal than 0, so the maximum with 0 is 0. All of these are 0. And this is feasible, all h, j are 0. So everything here is 0, except this one. So if it is feasible, the gradient of f must be 0 at the moment.
Okay? That's why it does not happen unless you are very lucky. If you take the unconstrained penalized problem, you solve it, and the solution you find is feasible, then the gradient at that point has to be 0. Okay? So, if x is feasible, whenever the gradient of the penalized function is 0 at the point, then also the gradient of the original objective function is 0.
Okay? And vice versa, it is obvious. Okay?
The two things are exactly the same. They are the same vector if the x is feasible.
So this is a weak point, because you may end up in a feasible solution if and only if you could have solved the problem just looking for stationary points of f. Okay? In our example, it was not so. Let's take the one-dimensional example. The function was t squared. So the gradient takes value 0 only at 0, which is outside the feasible region. So you can never get inside the feasible region. So it is very likely that the sequence you generate is made only by points which are outside to the feasible region. So they are external to the feasible region. Okay? This is why this is called external or exterior penalization. Okay? Because it's unlikely you get a feasible solution. Okay? There's another very interesting remark. And then we'll take a 5 minute break.
Gradient of f plus some coefficient for the gradient of the constraining function and the sum, and then you sum with the gradient of the equality constraining function for some coefficient. This is Lagrange multiplier rule. Okay? In the KKT conditions, this is the condition where here you have lambda I and mu j. Okay? There exist non-negative lambda I and there exist mu j such that this system of equations works. Okay? So this is actually Lagrange multiplier rule. Indeed, you have x space. Well, if you have x space, you satisfy Lagrange multiplier rule, taking lambda I to be equal to 2 times x space g I plus x cube, and mu j 2 times x k h x.
Oh, well, we might think, okay, we have Lagrange multiplier rules.
These are non-negative, because this function is always greater equal than zero, and this is the positive penalization term.
Well, it looks like I'm satisfying KKT conditions. Well, the answer is no, because you're missing complementarity. Okay? If
complementarity tells you that
okay, or the constraint is active, the equality constraint is active at the point, or the Lagrange multiplier has to be zero. One of these two has to be zero.
So if you want to write in words, it is lambda I equals zero or g I x equals zero.
Okay. And here, if your point is not feasible, this is possible.
This is possible. Let's say one of these for some I, this is possible.
Okay,
because if it is zero for all I's, it means that the inequality constraint is satisfied. This is zero. This is positive. And also this is positive.
So you are generally missing complementarity slackness. Okay? I mean, you are missing feasibility and complementarity slackness.
Indeed, it is done this way, and we'll see in a bit that this is always the case.
Let's go back to the example, and then I will take the break.
Okay. Let's go back to the example. Here, we have the solution, XR,
okay,
and we have the corresponding multiplier.
We have just a unique constraint and an equality constraint,
so we just have some UR, okay,
a unique multiplier.
Let's see which its value.
It is 2 times R
times h computed at the point, so is x1r plus x2r minus 1. Okay, so you sum this up, so you have 2r. 2r divided is this value minus 1. Okay, what you are left with is should be this quantity. Check the computation. Take r that goes to plus infinity. What you get?
Minus 1.
Here you get minus 1. Okay?
Let's check the original problem.
Okay?
And let's write the multipliers rule. Multipliers rule would be at the optimal solution. We know that the optimal solution is one half. Okay? So the gradient of the objective function is 2 times x1, 2 times x2. And since the point is 1/2, 1/2, it is 1/1. And then we have to add mu, and then the gradient of the unique constraining function. Which is the gradient of this function? The derivative with respect to x1 is 1, with respect to x2 is 1, so it's 1/1. Okay. Well, this is 0, 0 exactly if you take -1. Once again, this is not just a Lagrange situation. And I will state the result after the break. When r goes to plus infinity, this goes to two Lagrange multipliers. Okay, so let's take a break. After that, I will tell you this thing, and I will start discussing the trouble of r going to plus infinity.